Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
As you look at the readings, or as you heard the readings today, you might think, oh, they're an interesting choice for Max's last sermon before he disappears for 3 months. Well, the truth is, they are the default readings for all the Church of England today, the lectionary, if you will, because as I've already alluded to in our prayers, today is Trinity Sunday, the day we remember God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The day when preachers all around the world will stand up in pulpits just like this one and accidentally preach heresy. They'll use analogies like, the Trinity is just like water, which can be ice, steam, or liquid. And of course, you'll know very well that that is a heresy called modalism, which was condemned at the Council of Constantinople in 381. I'm sure you all have that imprinted. Others will use different heresies. They will use things like plants and the free leaves of a plant. They will say, it's like the three-leaf clover, making up one flower. Now, before you shout out, but Max, that is partialism, the heresy rejected by the Council of Nicaea in 325, because again, I know that's on your hearts immediately. It's probably time to move on from that and to state this. For me, the Trinity is better summed up, not in an analogy, which they all fall down in the end, but in the words of 1980s pop idol Toya Wilcox. I said to my son yesterday, I said, I'm being really relevant in church, I'm quoting pop stars. And he said, Dad, you're quoting pop stars from the 1980s. But Toya says this, it's a mystery, I'm still searching for a clue, it's a mystery to me, a shot in the dark, the big question mark in history. Is it a mystery to you? Yes, it is. Now, for some, the fact that I, as director of Bedhampton, have stood up here and admitted that I lack the words to describe a core doctrine of the Christian faith may prompt a flood of emails to Bishop Jonathan in his inbox tomorrow. But let me say this to try and avoid that option, because I'll be with him tomorrow morning as he prays for me as I go. I will give you an answer to the question, what is the Trinity, at the end of my short sharing. After all, in this age of enlightenment, or the age of enlightenment that happened during the 17th and 18th centuries, knowledge and certainty have become our gods here in the community and the areas that we live, the world that we live in. And yet Jesus said in our gospel that our goal is to be this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Go in the name of the Trinity, he says, something that most of us can't really properly describe, and bring people to a God who St. Paul says we can only partially fathom. If that is our mandate, how can we admit in an age of science and certainty the parts of God that remain a mystery to us? When we speak to neighbours who ask questions like, how can you go to church with all the pain that religion has caused? How can we not have a quick answer to come back with? What about when your teenage daughter or your grandson comes up and tries to point out what they believe are inconsistencies in the Bible? Do you need to be able to pull out the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and say, look, there are no inconsistencies? In a world that we live in, that up to now has placed black and white answers as above everything, you would be forgiven for thinking so, wouldn't you? However, as the famous Dale Carnegie quoted, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. We can't, I believe, very often argue people into a relationship with Jesus. Facts and logic about the Bible, true though they may be, I have found have very little impact on those who are yet to know Jesus. The heavy theological stuff that people like Stephen and I love as geeks of the Bible don't often draw people to him. In my experience, actually, it is the mystery that draws us deeper into who God is. Whether I am standing aloft a mountain in the Lake District, surveying the beauty of the world that God has created, or sitting on my surfboard out beyond the break, watching the power of the waves crashing in front of me, it's the mystery of God. I see a God who doesn't need me. I see a God who doesn't need me. I see a God that our psalmist describes as majestic. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. The true mystery to me is not that we need to fathom every single iota of who God is. It's not that we need to have an answer, or I need to have an answer certainly, for my brothers when they question me about why they should follow God. Or even the ability to be able to describe the Trinity itself. That is not the mystery. The mystery to me is, why would God care for one boy from a working class family who grew up to lead a wonderful but fairly insignificant small church on a little blue-green planet? Why would he do that? That is mystery to me. And yet, he does. He loves us. As that age of enlightenment came to a close that I mentioned earlier on, as it came to a close in the 1800s, an intellectual author of books and hymns wrote what I consider, and you might giggle at this one, but wrote what I consider perhaps the best answer to an intellectual understanding of who God is. Anna Bartlett Warner wrote this. You may not know her, but you will know this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak. We are weak. But he is strong. At a time when the world, much like now, was telling her that as an intellectual, she must fully comprehend who God is or reject him entirely, she decided that mystery was enough. For her, and of course for thousands of us in various Sunday schools down throughout the ages, those simple words have been enough. This isn't an abandonment of our intellect. It's simply an acknowledgement of God's majesty. After all, if we could fully fathom who God is, would he even be God? My friends, those around us will be drawn to God when they understand that despite them, despite his staggering majesty, despite his mystery, he still loves them. He loves you and he loves me. They will be drawn in when they see that love alive in us, and in particular in this community, confused as we are, broken as we are. They will see his love and mystery when we love each other. Because that's what we're called to do, isn't it? You see, before the Trinitarian God as Son ascended to the Father and sent his Spirit, he gave us one clear command, which by now I'm pretty sure you can recite by rote, because I say it so often. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The Trinitarian God is a mystery, and to understand that is to understand that love is the answer. As I head out into 3 months away from you, I'm heading out into a season of simply abiding in God's love. You know me, I love to do stuff, don't I? And in the last 6 months, I've been saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And I've had nothing other than the word abide. I want to abide in his love and mystery so that I, in my own broken way, may share a little of that love and mystery with others. And my greatest prayer for you, not just over the next 3 months, but forevermore, is that you will love one another, that you will abide in Jesus, that you too may share a little of that love and mystery with Bedhampton, Hampshire, England, and the world. So just before I finish, as I promised, here is my answer to the question, what is the Trinity? The Trinity, my friends, is reflected in you. So love one another, because by this, everyone will know that you are Jesus' disciples if you love one another. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.